words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This morning we're talking on the topic of life. It's your responsibility.
Yes, yes, come on.
The Good News version of the Bible, Proverbs 17 and 24, the Good News version says, an intelligent person aims at wise actions, but a fool starts off in many directions.
Come on now.
Can you believe that this year is almost over? I'm not going to do a whole lot of screaming and shouting today. I don't feel so good, so y'all just got to get this, all right?
All right.
It seems that with each passing year, time speeds up. Mm-hmm. When I was little, I remember that school used to seem like it was forever. Mm. It seemed like summer would never come. Mm-hmm. It seemed like school. And now, as you know, when I was coming up, the old folks used to say, boy, the older you get, the faster time goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't believe it because all I saw was school,
yeah,
and never summer.
Uh-huh.
And now that I'm in my mid-40s, time is flying.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But it's also winding down. Amen?
Amen.
Come on.
Think about it. It seems like only yesterday we were worried about Y2K. 1999 going into 2000,
right.
The computers were going to crash and the stock market was going to fall. Seems like it was just yesterday.
Yesterday.
That was 18 years ago.
Amen.
Yes, it was.
And now we're faced with another new year.
Yes.
And we can do one of two things this year. We can waste it by sitting around and worrying about the things that we have failed to accomplish in this past year, mm-hmm, or the mistakes that we have made throughout 2017.
Yeah.
We can sit around and mope and we can have a pity party because things didn't go the way that we wanted them to go.
Come on now.
Or we can decide to make the most of this new year that God has granted us.
Amen.
This could be the greatest year of our lives.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
But we have to make a conscious decision to do whatever it takes,
yes,
to have a great year.
Yes.
And whatever it takes to live within the will of God.
Yes.
It is your responsibility, this life that you have.
Oh, yes. Come on now.
It is no one else's responsibility.
Right.
It is your responsibility.
Yes.
And the point that I'm trying to get across is whatever that we're going to do with our lives this year, we had better get a move on it because time is moving on.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
See, I got started, forgot to turn the right microphone on.
Come on now.
So let's see what we can do. There we go. All right. We better get moving because time is moving on.
Yes, it is.
It is not going to sit still until we can make up our minds what we are going to do. Time is not going to sit still while we straddle both sides of the fence.
That's right. Come on.
Time is not going to sit still while we put off the responsibilities of this life.
Yeah.
Time is not going to sit still while we go to church instead of being the church.
That's right. Come on.
Time is not going to sit still while we try to be a better Christian. Time isn't going to sit still simply because we're not making a move.
Come on.
Time will roll on without you.
That's right.
Time is not going to sit still while we work a few things out.
That's right.
Time isn't going to sit still while we decide, do we want to be a Christian or not?
That's right.
Time will not sit still for you nor for me. Time is not going to sit still for anyone. Life, this life that we have been given, it is our responsibility. Are you with me?
Yeah.
The simple truth of the matter is, if you're not going to do something with your life, it really doesn't matter how long this year is or how much time we have left in a year.
That's
if you're not going to do anything with your life, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Come on now.
What are we going to do with 18? What are we going to do with 2018? How will this year coming in be different,
yeah,
than 2017?
Amen.
This year was a tough year.
Yeah.
Wasn't it a tough year?
Amen.
Come on now, wasn't it a tough year?
Yeah.
I know it was a tough year for me. I have seen many challenges this year. It's been a year of choices. It's been a year of tremendous change. It's been a year of some crisis. The fact is that 2017 was more of a disappointment to some than it was a joy. Some of you may have experienced a loss of some kind. Some of you may have been, setbacks and failures and focusing on those things. The bad news is there's nothing we can do to change 2017. But the good news is that we can learn from last year, and today we have the opportunity to start over and make some changes. God brings life to us in small pieces. We know them as seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, and months. At the beginning of every year, we get 12 new months. We get 52 new weeks. We get 365 new days. We get 8,765 new hours. We get 5,948 minutes to do something different. Every year we get 31,556,926 seconds. New. Amen.
Amen.
New seconds to do something new.
To do something new.
Not new seconds to rehash the old.
Come on now.
Life, it's your responsibility. God is saying to us, okay, it's a new year. I've allowed you to see a new year. He's saying, let's try again. But it's your responsibility.
Yes.
Proverbs 17:24, the Good News Version says, an intelligent person aims at wise actions, but a fool starts off in many directions.
Yeah.
And for many, the last part of that verse describes us, doesn't it? It says a fool starts off in many directions. Does that describe you or anyone that you know? You start your year off in haste, going in many different directions at one time with no plan of action. Then notice the words at the beginning of the verse. It says an intelligent person aims at wise actions. This means they have a goal. It means they have an objective, an aim, a target. Have you set any goals for 18? Are you going to just walk through the year and hope it's better? Come on, do you have any goals? I'm not talking about resolutions, because that's some foolishness. I'm talking about goals. Or are we just going to walk through it and hope it's better? Resolutions, we know they're a waste of time. We know that they're a waste of energy. And you shouldn't need a new year and a resolution to better yourself. Amen. Somebody. This morning, I want to share with you four keys that will help us get the most out of 2018. Now, we know that a key can be used to start something, or it can be used to open up a door. And it's my prayer that these keys will start you off on the right foot and in the right direction. But it is also my prayer that you will use these keys to open doors of opportunity that God places before you. Because life is your responsibility. Number one, accept responsibility for your life. This is something that's hard for many of us to do. Some people would rather blame someone else for their problems and difficulty in their lives. Have you ever met someone when nothing is ever their fault? If she hadn't said this, if he hadn't have said that, if they hadn't have done this.
That's right. Come on. Right.
Wouldn't be in this position. What did you do to get fired?
Come on now.
Right?
Yeah.
Come on now. These are people that go around looking for someone who will accept responsibility for them. Someone who will accept responsibility for the way that they live their lives and the choices that they make. When things don't turn out the way that they hope, they have someone that they can blame.
Yeah.
Accepting responsibility for our lives is not a popular concept in this society, because we live in a culture that embraces a concept called political correctness.
That's right.
This basically says none of your problems are your fault. Everything bad in your life is someone else's fault. We blame the environment. We blame the educator. We blame our parents. We blame everybody else. It's not your fault. If you get in an accident, it's never your fault. If you spill hot coffee on yourself, you sue McDonald's. It's their fault. You should know enough not to gulp down some hot coffee. You should know to wash your hands after using the bathroom. You shouldn't need a sign that tells you that in the bathroom. Life is your responsibility, but we have signs everywhere. Slippery when wet, caution, hot. Even our cars reminds us to put on our seatbelt, and it goes on and on. But life is our responsibility, and you shouldn't need a sign to tell you that. We'll never be a success in life, and we'll never make our lives count if we have an attitude that it is always someone else's fault.
Yeah.
We must accept responsibility for our own lives.
Yeah.
Galatians 6:5 says, I didn't write it. The Bible in Galatians 6:5 says every person must be responsible for himself. The King James Version says every man shall bear his own burden. Here is the truth in that scripture. I'm responsible for my own life, even if I don't like it. All of us here this morning, we're responsible for our own lives. We face two kinds of circumstances. These circumstances which we have no control over. None of us here this morning knows what we'll face throughout the coming year. We don't know what 2018 has in store for us, but there are certain things that are going to happen regardless of what we do and how we plan our year. There is no excuse for not being prepared or having a plan. We have no control over the weather. We have no control over the economy. We have no control over the companies that we work for or the words or the actions of others. But we still have to have a plan.
Yeah.
There are some circumstances that we face as a result of our own choices, actions, or lack of actions. Have you known people that have financial problems because they quit their job and don't have another job to go to?
Come on.
The reason they quit their job is because they didn't like it. Someone made them mad. Then when things got tight, money and food low, these people blamed their family, their church, or someone in the church because their family or the church refused to accept responsibility for their decisions and actions of these folks. But what they really wanted was someone to accept responsibility for their life.
Come on.
And bail them out of some trouble. There are people like that in the world. Come on now, I'm not talking about someone who through no fault of their own fell on hard times.
Come on.
I'm talking about someone that did something without considering the consequences of his or her actions and how these actions would affect others around them.
Yeah.
You missed it. I'm talking about someone that did something without considering the consequences of his or her actions and how these actions would affect others around them. Listen, your actions will affect others around you. I'm talking to me too.
Yeah.
I'm not talking at you. I'm hitting me too. I'm curling my toes back. Amen.
Come on,
the way you act, the people you run with, can affect others around you in either a negative or positive way.
On,
and the first excuse we run to is it's my life. It's my business. What I do makes me happy. It's no one's business but mine. Newsflash, wake up. Man up, then please shut up. Because you sound stupid.
Yeah, come on now.
To any true, intelligent adult, life is your responsibility.
Yes, it is.
Take an apartment lease. Has anyone ever here tried to rent an apartment?
Come on now.
And the man come out with a lease that's big as the Bible?
That's right.
And that is no fault of your own. The actions of the people that had been in the apartment before you.
Yeah.
Now you've got a lease this big.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with you. But the actions of other folks will trickle down.
Yeah.
While we may not be in control of all circumstances that we will face this coming year, we do have control of how we will act and how we will respond to them. That was for me. When someone does some stupid mess on my watch, it makes me mad.
Come on now.
I get irritated, and my response is not always godly. It's not always, well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May heaven smile upon you. I get mad and I get irritated. Sometimes I just need an okay.
Yes, uh-huh. Okay.
Sometimes I just need a yes.
Yes.
Let's be real for a minute. We need to understand that there are three kinds of people in this life. There are accusers, there are excusers, and there are choosers.
Come on.
There are accusers. They always blame everybody else for their problems. Their favorite phrase is, it's all your fault. It's never my fault. It's someone else's fault. There are excusers. These are people that always have an excuse for not making a decision or doing something, using or exercising poor judgment. There's always a reason why they can't make the most out of their year. In the long run, they end up being the losers. I've discovered that whenever I want to procrastinate on something, any excuse will do. The Bible says a lazy man is full of excuses. Then there are choosers. They say, I choose to accept responsibility for my own life, my own goals, and my own happiness. I'm not dependent upon somebody else. I choose the direction of my life within the will of God. I'm not depending on the crowd. If we do this, we'll already be a jump ahead in 2018. Point number two, believe that I can change. Believe that you can change. Stop saying I can't and start saying that I can. A person that believes that they can change with the help of God will change. Philippians 4 and 13, the Jerusalem Bible said, there is nothing that I cannot master without the help of Christ who gives me strength. Do you believe that? There is nothing that I can't master. That means there's nothing that I'm going to hit in the next 365 days. No problem, no situation, no circumstance, no hassle, no person that I can't handle through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. People never succeed in life because they believe that they can't change. Because somebody told them, you ain't going to ever amount to nothing. I hope she's watching. I had a lady tell me when I was 17, at least I know that my son is going to come out all right. And he living at home with them. I've got my own house. Bless the Lord.
All right.
I believe I've discovered that's why so many New Year's parties where people go to get drunk, they can't see straight. They get drunk to forget about the past. And because they're afraid to face the future.
Come on.
Then they excuse it with a misquoted scripture in Ecclesiastes 8 and 15. I've been teaching y'all since we opened this church. You can't just read the one verse. You got to do what, Brother James? You got to read what? The one before and the one after. And get it in the right context. Ecclesiastes 8 and 15, and I command joy, for man has no good thing under the sun but to eat, drink, and be joyful. What does it say before that? And what does it say after that? The Bible makes it simple. Before it, it says, there is a meaningless and futile thing which is done on the earth. That is, there are righteous men whose gain as though they were evil, and evil men whose gain as though they were righteous. And I say this to you. Then I command pleasure and enjoyment, because a man without God, a man without God has no better thing under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. For this will stand by him in his toil through the days of his life which God has given him under the sun. Keep reading. When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to see the activities of mankind that take place upon the earth, how some men need to sleep neither day nor night, and I saw all the work of God, I concluded that man cannot discover the work that is done under the sun. Even though man may labor in seeking, he will not discover. And more than that, though a wise man thinks and claims he knows, he will not be able to find out. You read the before and the after, and it knocks the middle right out the park.
That's right.
That's right.
Talk to us.
With the help and grace of God, we can overcome the past and face the future.
Yeah.
We have a new handle on this life for this coming year. I believe and I know that we can change. Not of our own power, but with the power that Christ gives us. The Bible is full of stories who changed because they believed that they could change after God touched them.
Yeah.
I didn't make it up. Read. God called a man named Moses.
Yeah.
And he said, I want to use you to save a nation.
Yeah.
And what did Moses say? Me? I got kicked out of Egypt because I killed a guy. I'm a murderer. Now I'm out here feeding sheep. And on top of that, I stutter. And I'm slow of speech. And you want me to be a spokesperson for the nation? And God said, yes, I'm going to use you. And because Moses believed him, didn't he do it? There was another man named Gideon. When the nation of Israel was run over by the enemy, God told him, I'm going to use you, Gideon, to save the country. And Gideon said, me? I'm the youngest kid in the poorest family in the smallest tribe. God said, yes, I'm going to use you. God can use me and God can use you. The good news is God wants to use you.
Yeah.
But you have to be available.
Yeah.
You must accept responsibility for your own life. And second, you must believe that you can change, that God can give you the power to change if you really trust him.
Yeah.
The third point is clarify what you really want.
Hallelujah.
You must decide what's important and what isn't important. Is being right really important?
Come on.
Sometimes you can just have to be quiet. And let foolish folks be foolish.
Yeah.
Because do you know that you can want something more for somebody than they want for themselves?
Yeah.
Do you know that you can want somebody to be more successful than they want to be?
Come on.
Do you know that you can want somebody to be saved who don't care nothing about Jesus?
Come on.
That will stress you out.
Come on.
It will cause friction.
Friction.
It will bring tears.
Yeah.
It will bring conflict.
Yeah.
God gives each of us an incredible gift called the freedom to choose, the freedom of choice. And that's the one of the things that God, I'm sure sometimes he must say, boy, that free will thing. It was all good. It was all good till we started thinking for ourselves.
Come on now.
It's always all right till you decide you're going to fix your own mess, right? Sure enough, God says in Genesis 1, let us make man in our own image. That gave us the freedom of choice. This is one of the ways that we're different from animals. We have the freedom to choose between good and evil. We have the freedom to choose what we want in life. The only way we can clarify what we really want is to make a list and decide what is important and what is not. It's amazing that most people never do this. They never stop and think. They never write down on a piece of paper, what is really important to me?
Come on.
Maybe some of you have done it, but have you ever sat down and written, these are the things that are important to me? You have to ask yourself, what's important to me?
Yeah.
What really counts? We can't do what's important until we clarify what's important.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to be pushed around by the pressures of life, doing this, doing that, running here, running there, and then all of a sudden, another year is over, and you say, where did the year go?
That's right.
Your values determine your vision. Come on, somebody. Your values determine your vision. Your desires determine your direction and your determination at the same time. Your roles determine your goals. I'm not trying to rhyme and sound cute. That makes sense. Think about it. Your values determine your vision. What you value determines what you will strive for.
That's right.
What you will strive for is your vision.
Yes.
Your values determine your vision.
Yes, it does.
If you value old things, you may open an antique shop.
Come on now.
Right?
Yeah.
Your values determine your vision. Your desires determine your direction. What your heart, what you desire in your heart determines the direction that you will go.
Yeah.
I challenge you today. Make a list of the things that are important to you, a list of the things that you want to accomplish. What do I value? What do I want to change? Put it down. Then put it on your prayer list. Pin it up on the wall and review it every day and pray about it every day. I'm pressing toward the mark of a higher call.
Amen.
Then make a plan of action. Simply putting it down and sticking it on the wall and praying about it ain't going to get it done if you don't have some kind of plan of action on how am I going to accomplish this.
That's right.
Then do whatever you have to do to make it get the most out of 2018. And then watch God do miracles in your life. Clarify what you really want. There are some things in this life that we do that are permissible, but they may not necessarily be to our advantage.
That's right.
There are some things that we do that are okay.
That's right.
The Lord doesn't necessarily have an issue with it, but it is not to our advantage.
No.
There is no crime in drinking soda.
Come on.
But it is not to my advantage because it makes my ankle swell up.
That's right.
Right, but when I get to heaven, the Lord isn't going to say, get out of here because of that Dr. Pepper. He's going to say, how are my ankles feeling?
Come on.
There are permissible things, but not always are they to our advantage. So those are some of the things, though, that we need to let go to.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything that you need to let go that is permissible but not to your advantage?
Yes, come on.
Come on now. I know I got some. I know y'all have to have some.
Come on.
But you have to be willing to let it go.
Yeah.
You're going to have to make a decision between what is good and what is better. Between what is better and then what is best.
That's right.
There are many things that we can do, but not all of them are beneficial. Some things aren't necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary.
Yeah.
And we don't have time for everything and everybody. Let me suggest a couple things to you. Your relationship with God needs to be number one.
That's right.
Going forward, from right now.
Yeah.
It needs to be number one, your relationship with God. What are you going to do this year to strengthen your relationship? What are you going to do to improve your relationship this coming year? What are you going to do to become more intimate with Him? We put more thought into a vacation than we do our relationship with Jesus Christ. God needs to be our first priority. And following that, your relationship with your family. I'm talking to me.
Come on.
What are you going to do this year to build a stronger and better relationship with your family?
Yeah.
What are you going to change about yourself that will accomplish this?
Yeah.
Because see, whatever the issues are that separate you or cause friction in your family, yeah, some of it is them, but what are you going to do different?
Yeah.
What are you going to do different? You can choose to let things bother you.
Yeah.
Or you can choose to not let them bother you.
Yeah.
It's that simple. I didn't say it was easy. It's that simple of a concept. Mm-hmm. Next, your relationship with your church and your church family.
Yeah.
What are you willing to do to improve the quality of your church?
Yeah.
How involved are you willing to get to help your church accomplish the commission that has been given to it?
Yeah.
If your answer is, I ain't doing nothing over there, you're in the wrong church. It doesn't matter how long you've been there. It doesn't matter what board that you serve on. It doesn't matter if you're the treasurer or the head of the deacon board.
Right.
If your answer to that is, I ain't doing nothing over there, it is time to make a move.
Right.
If your answer is, I ain't doing nothing here, it is time to make a move. Let me know what you need, a letter, a reference letter, a phone call. Wherever you can be fed, the best is where you need to be. But it must be a top priority.
Yeah.
How committed are you to your attendance and support of your church?
Amen.
Your church. There are three things that I've heard people on their deathbed wish they had given greater priority to. I've never heard anyone say, I wish I had spent more time at the club or the bar. I have never heard that. And I have seen many people die.
Yeah.
I have been at the deathbed of many of my family members.
Come on.
I have been at the deathbed of many strangers.
Yeah.
And I have watched many people leave this place.
Yeah.
And I have not one time heard that. I have never heard anyone say, I wish I had had more time to play with my friends.
Come on.
I've never heard that. And I have seen children die.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Who says that mess and actually believes it? Anyway, get your head out of the sand. Life is your responsibility.
Amen. Yes, it is.
My fourth and final, don't wait to begin. I've heard people say, well, I'm on a timeline.
Uh-huh.
I got to get some things right first.
Uh-huh.
Well, the newsflash, and I used to be one of them. And you know, I'm tell you something. I'm just gonna talk real, is that all right? When I was sitting on the organ and I was playing, I used to sit and listen to the preacher, and I used to get mad at Reverend Bass. I used to get so mad at him because I was like, oh, he's preaching at me. He's talking about me. And the truth of the matter isn't, he wasn't. He was just telling the truth. And if the shoe fits, you may as well wear it all around town proud. Amen. If the tail fits, put it on and shake it. It wasn't personal. I used to get so mad at him. I was like, why is he talking about me? What is he? He don't know. He don't know what I've been through. He wasn't talking to me. But it hit me. So I had to learn to just put the shoe on and wear it. Because it's my responsibility. Don't wait to begin. I'm finished. Do it now. These are three words that can change your life. Do it now. If you and I wait for the right situation or the right kind of circumstances, we will miss out on life altogether. I am a living witness that I have wasted a very good portion of my life waiting to get it right. When finally someone loved me enough to say, guess what? It is never going to be right. You are never going to get it right. It is time for you to stop playing. It is time for you to get out of the street. It is time for you to be about the business of the kingdom.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
So no more excuses. Come on in the house. Let's be wrong together and let's work on getting it right.
Amen.
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 Come on, y'all.
Amen.
There will never be an ideal set of circumstances to start on. There never will. It's never going to happen. It's never going to be right. And that's a trick of the enemy to make you think, well, there's some things you've got to work out first. Because after, if you manage to get that worked out, something else is coming.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Yeah. And then you've got to work that out. Before you know it, you're 40 years old, haven't done nothing, got to start at 40. If the Lord allows me to see 80, my life is already half over. Wasted time. If somebody you know is telling you something, hey, around that corner, there's a pothole. Go that way. Listen to them.
Amen.
Go fall in the hole, and then you want to call them, tell them, come get me out of the hole. Don't wait to begin. Ecclesiastes 11:4. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. That is the Bible. We always say when things settle down or when things get better, the problem is they never settle down and they never get better. That's just called life. You're going to have some bad days. Amen. You know, there's a guy, he said, this is my Bible. I can do what it says I can do. But he never talks about not doing the stuff that you're not supposed to do.
Right.
We just talk about heaven and we never talk about hell. Amen. There's going to be some bad days in this life. The Bible says a man that is born of a woman has but a few days, and those few days are full of trouble. So get used to it. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, because you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. We say, when things settle down, I'm going to spend more time with your kids. Before you know it, your kid is off to college. Don't even care if you call them or not. Come on, somebody. There's a lot of people that have missed out on life waiting for an ideal set of circumstances or waiting for things to get better. While they're waiting, time just keeps rolling right along. We must learn to enjoy life under the circumstances that we have right here and right now. They're less than perfect, but it's all we have. Amen. Whatever you're going to do, that what you want to do, start it right now. Because things will not settle down, and they're not going to get better until somebody stretches you out in your casket. Amen. And you can stand before the Lord, and he said, now that you have labored, you can rest for a little while. But until you get there, you got to work.
That's right.
Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. If you follow simple things like this, you can live victorious in Jesus. I didn't say you'll live trouble free, but you will be victorious in the midst of a storm. Jesus will come in.
Yes, he will.
He'll take the wheel.
Yes, he will.
Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Whatever you need to make it, he's got you.
Yeah.
Right.
A hymn writer said, just ask the Savior to help you. Comfort, strengthen, and keep you.
Yeah.
He's willing to aid you.
Yeah.
He'll carry you through.
Yeah.
And then there was another songwriter. He said, you know, I've had some good days.
Yeah.
I've had some bad days. I've had some weary days. And I've had some sleepless nights. But when I look around and I think things over, all of my good days, come on up and get all of my good days, hallelujah, they outweigh my bad days, so I won't complain. Hey. Sometimes clouds can look. You can hardly see the road. Right? And you ask the question, Lord, why? Why so much pain? He turns your nighttime into day. And for that, you ought to say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. Hey, do you know him today? Complaining doesn't do nothing. Everybody will listen, but nobody will do nothing about it. My granddaddy used to tell me that all the time. He said, well, just shut up. Everybody going to listen. Ain't nobody going to do nothing. He says, is that the worst thing that happened to you today? What good happened to you today? Mm. And I'd run down a list. Oh, I had this happen. I had this happen. This. He said, okay. So you let this one thing overshadow all of the good things that happened to you today? Be quiet. Just thank God for what he's done for you.
Yeah.
Because you don't appreciate how good is if you don't experience some bad times. Those folks, you say you don't know how good is till you feel how bad is. Amen. But you can sing that song and you can sing it with confidence. All of my good days outweigh my bad days, and I won't complain. All he's done for you, look back over this year. Everything that was set out in 2017 to destroy you. But here we are. Still standing among the land of the living. Amen. And all of y'all are sitting down. But I bet you if you take a minute and you look back and go through your Bible and pull out some of those programs that say homegoing celebration, those are folks that were standing next to you at the beginning of 2017. And they're no longer here, but here we are. So you ought to be on your feet thanking God and giving him praise because he's worthy and he didn't have to do it. Sometimes, but the Bible says we're like filthy rags.
Yeah.
Now, if that's not a wake-up call, Bible says a man ought to not think too much of himself.
Right.
Amen. That you can do whatever you want and say whatever you want to whomever you want, whenever you want, however you want, because you think you're entitled to something, because you done did something for somebody.
Not right.
Filthy rags. Pedestals are for flowers. They're not for people. We put people on a pedestal that they didn't ask to be on. And then when they do what people do, which is fail sometimes, they fall off of something that you put them on and they didn't even know they were on, and now you're devastated. Put your confidence not in man, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. The doors of the house are open. Amen. You may come at this time for special prayer. We ask for every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need special prayer, you may come at this time. If you don't know the Lord and the full pardon of your sins, you may come at this time. If you have backslidden and you need to rededicate your life, you may come at this time. The doors of the house are never closed, but right now we are reserving a time for you to come. Come seeking fellowship, come seeking membership, come as a candidate for baptism, come on Christian experience, but whatever it is, just come. Lord, be a fence. peace all around you and protect you from all hurt, from all harm, and all danger. But in case we do not meet again, you know that we will meet at the feet of Jesus. But until then, may the Lord watch. Between me and thee, how we are absent one from another.